As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we take a look at several catchers vying for your attention and also a fantasy roster spot.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. Noel Melchior did not get suddenly a deeper voice. This is Michael Beller. We're switching it up here this morning, changing roles. Michael Beller here with Al Melchior. Al, I hope you're able to handle things from that side of the fence. I know I'm struggling already to do it from this side.
I'm ready for opposites day, so let's do it.
Well, let's do it. Well, big news in the baseball world, the fantasy baseball world, on this Wednesday morning. The Tampa Bay Rays will be promoting Vidal Brujan on Wednesday, hitting 259 with 9 homers and 15 steals at Durham. Manny Margot going on the IL. Technically, he's the extra man for the doubleheader, but sounds like Brujan is here to stay. Easy add wherever he's available, Al.
I think so. Yeah, I don't see that playing time is going to be an issue going forward, regardless of whatever Margot's health status is. So, yeah, go get him. I mean, if there's steals out there and really a power steals combo out there available, why would you pass on that?
Why would you pass on that, especially with the ceiling that is tied to Vidal Brujan? Yasmani Grandal on the IL, tore a tendon in his left knee. He'll be out for 4 to 6 weeks. We've got some catchers to talk about in our standouts that could fill that hole for Grandal managers. Anthony Rendon also going to the IL with the hamstring injury. The third IL trip of the season for Anthony Rendon. Just been a lost season for him. Michael Pineda will make his return on Wednesday and start against the White Sox. Al, is he a start or a sit for you?
Initially, he's going to be a sit. Let's see how he fares in this one. We'll do a wait and see with Pineda and revisit next week.
Yeah, I think that's fair, especially with the matchup against the White Sox. Not the offense that they were earlier in the season, but still one that you don't just roll out of bed and dominate. Odubel Herrera out on Tuesday, probably Wednesday with ankle and wrist injuries. The Giants called up Tyler Beede, may start against Washington on Friday. We'll talk about him potentially on Friday as a streamer. The Milwaukee Brewers and Toronto Blue Jays got together on a trade. The Brewers getting Rowdy Tellez for Trevor Richards and Bowden Francis. So Brewers adding a little bit of punch to their lineup. Maybe has some sort of relevance in NL-only leagues. Then we've got some closers, that usual closer hijinks to wrap up our news and notes from Tuesday. Brad Brock started off the ninth in a 6-3 game, did not retire any of the first three batters. I mean, are we ever going to get a handle on the Cincinnati situation, Al?
Nah, I've given up. I mean, I say that, but at least for the time being, I'm just not interested in this situation, and probably going to be a while before we see TJ Antone or Lucas Sims. So I'm just hanging back on that Red situation.
I think that's the right way to go. And here we got Yimi Garcia. You're always trying to get me to push him out of the ninth inning in Miami, so maybe you should take a shot at it. He did allow three base runners, but preserved a 1-1 tie in the ninth inning against the Dodgers. I mean, what is this? Is this a cheap shot at Yimi you're taking here?
I guess so. And I, you know, the thing is, like, I really liked him coming into the season. I wouldn't even say that I don't like him as a pitcher now, but he's definitely made it difficult to trust him. And I do think that this is a situation that maybe is up for grabs right now. And we didn't see Anthony Bender in this situation because he had pitched the previous two games. So I think this one is still one to watch.
Definitely one to watch. I still believe Yimi Garcia is pitching somewhere else come August. Let's look at the Tuesday standouts. Let's start things off with a couple of pitchers, Al. We've got Chad Kuhl having himself a cool night. Six innings, four hits, just one run allowed. Seven strikeouts and no walks against the impossible-to-figure-out Atlanta Braves. They're going to go down as forget about the Yankees. The Braves, the most disappointing team in Major League Baseball this season. Kuhl's been quite good in three of his last four. Six innings and one run in three of his last four, at Colorado being the only exception, and that's something we can definitely excuse. We've also got Dane Dunning having himself a nice night on Tuesday. Five innings, one hit, one run, one walk, six Ks against the Tigers. When you look at these two guys, Al, either of them jump out as someone that you would be thinking about adding in the short or long, or for the short or long terms?
I would say more so Dunning than Chad Kuhl. I mean, we're getting a little bit of swing and miss from Chad Kuhl in that four-start run that you mentioned, but mostly just a lot of ground balls, and so that can help him be effective, but I'm still not sure about Kuhl's fantasy appeal at this point. But Dunning, I wanted to talk about him because I think it'd be really easy to dismiss this start as he's got the Tigers. That's a matchup-based success for him. But a 4.38 ERA coming into that one, that really, with I think some better luck on balls in play, you know, could have been like a mid threes ERA. And I don't take it lightly when I say, you know, bad BABIP luck, because I think that still in this time gets a little bit overused as an explanation. But I mean, 376, like that's just not something that's going to, sustain for long. So Dunning's been good and it doesn't show up in his fantasy stats.
Yeah, I think where you use BABIP is at the extremes. If you want to tell me a guy's, like, I'm not impressed if you say a pitcher's got a 320 BABIP and league average is 295. It's like, well, that's going to happen to some guys, and maybe he's allowing hard contact. 376 is where we start to get into the discussion where he probably is getting a little bit unfortunate. So Dunning potentially worth a look. Maybe his luck starts to even out in the second half of the season. David Fletcher had himself a big night on Tuesday, going 4-for-4, a pair of doubles against the Red Sox. And in his last 30 games, up to a 353 batting average. This just feels a lot more like the David Fletcher that we expected to see from the start of the season.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I felt like Fletcher was somebody that you couldn't even really be rostering in some deeper leagues earlier on, because you figure, okay, he's going to give you the batting average, maybe not a whole lot else, but you weren't really getting that. Now, exactly as you say, Michael, this is the David Fletcher that if you drafted him, this is what you expected. And if he's out there, I'd say 14 teams and deeper, especially if you need some batting average help, this is the guy.
Going to be living atop that Angels lineup. Let's get into our quartet of catchers who can potentially solve some woes for Yasmani Grandal managers. First, let's start with Fletcher's teammate, Max Stassi. 3-for-4 with his sixth homer of the season, also his fifth double of the season, up to a 312 batting average. Tyler Stevenson getting to play a lot for the Cincinnati Reds. He went 3-for-5 against the Royals, hit second in the order in that game too, so that should definitely get your eyes open. How about Yan Gomes, 3-for-3 with a pair of doubles in his last 15 games, 15-for-50, and that right there, Al, that's going to put a catcher on the map. It really is that low of a barrier to entry. And then finally, John Hicks, he's splitting starts with Jonah Heim, but did hit his fourth homer of the season on Tuesday, so showing enough power in his limited playing time to put himself on the fantasy radar. Put yourself in the shoes of a Yasmani Grandal manager, and let's do it specifically from the standpoint of a league where you are waiting till this weekend to make claims. A weekly league, you got to wait till Sunday to make an ad for Yasmani Grandal. If these four guys are the top four guys available, how are you prioritizing them?
All right. Well, I don't have to use my imagination because I am manager. And if I'm able to add Max Stacy, I'm wanting to do that. I mean, he's been hitting for average and some pretty decent power all season long. So at least when he's been active. So he would be my top priority, but understandably, he may not be out there. So at this point, I think I'm going for Tyler Stevenson. Because as you mentioned, batting up in the order for the Reds, gaining some playing time, hitting for average and some power. And, you know, that's a nice player to plug in, and that one you'd be able to plug in a lot of leagues. And then going a little bit deeper, I think probably taking the flyer on John Hicks, since I mean, he's swinging a very hot bat, just 4 home runs and 12 plate appearances. Maybe it's a short term play, but if I need to plug somebody in just for next week and then, you know, solve the problem longer term, I'll give him a try. And I don't want to completely sleep on Yan Gomes because he gets a lot of playing time hitting for average lately.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would change is that I would probably go for Gomes over Hicks just because I feel like, you know, I'm never going to like bet on a guy being longer than the timetable, but a torn tendon in your knee, like, it wouldn't be crazy to me if in 4 to 6 weeks the White Sox decide to take it a little easier on Yasmani Grandal, especially given their lead in the AL Central. Like, they need Grandal healthy in October, not necessarily at the end of August. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them take it easy if they maintain this lead in the division and just give Grandal some extra time. So maybe playing time, maybe volume becomes something you're looking for out of that position. So I could see going for Gomes over Hicks. With you, though, that Stacy, Stevenson, those are the first two guys that you want to look at here. We've got a couple more hitter standouts to get to. Elvis Andrews, 3-for-5 on Tuesday night, filling up the stat sheet, a double, a steal. Last 30 games, hitting .278 with 5 steals and batting second. Are we witnessing the rebirth of Elvis Andrews in this 2021 season?
It looks like it. It looks like it. We've talked about him fairly recently coming around, and he's just kept going since that point, which was maybe a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, it looks like he's back. And it did seem like maybe a little premature for the kind of decline we had seen from him the last couple of years. So this seems very plausible to me.
Luke Voit goes 5-for-6 against the Mariners. Luke Voit doing Luke Voit things. And then Travis Jankowski, the last guy I'll ask you about, 1-for-3, a walk, his 3rd steal, 9-for-26, a run that Jankowski is on the radar in any sorts of leagues for you?
Definitely NL only, and maybe a 15-teamer where I'm looking for steals. This is one that, you know, we'll see develop over the next few days because, as you mentioned at the outset, Odubel Herrera banged up right now. So if this turns into a longer-term thing for Herrera, then Jankowski stands to gain quite a bit of playing time. And I think at that point, he's clearly got 14-15-team appeal with his steals potential.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, Al, let's get into the streamers for Wednesday. We've got looking like 4 or 5 guys or so to talk about. JC Mejia against Josh Fleming, both guys potentially on our radar here. Drew Smyly gets that dream matchup with the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Brady Singer going against the Cincinnati Reds, where he'll face off with Sonny Gray. And then Antonio Senzatella, also a dream matchup against the Diamondbacks. Who's your favorite pitcher to stream and why?
Definitely Drew Smyly. Been pitching better lately, and that's just a great matchup at Pittsburgh. So he really stands out in this crowd. I would like Josh Fleming. The thing is, that's a doubleheader. So in the case of both Mejia and Fleming, should either one, I think it's unlikely, but should either one, you know, need to be called into relief duty, then maybe that status is a little shaky for them. So I think I'm going to avoid both of them. But yeah, so Smyly is the one that stands out in this group. And then Brady Singer, I think that he's one that probably doesn't look like a viable streamer. He's just not been turning in good results for quite a while now. Last 8 starts in ERA almost is up to the level of 6. But just, you know, getting the strikeouts, sort of like we talked about with Dane Dunne, just a lot of hits on balls in play, more than I think that he really has deserved. And I think we're going to see a better Brady Singer going forward, maybe beginning with the start. Senzatella, it's a great matchup, but I think he just doesn't clear the bar for me, even in that case.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And with Singer, I think I would be more inclined to go after him in leagues where ERA whip didn't really mean anything to me anymore. I would be a little wary of making this start if I was competing in those categories, just because, you know, I mean, you can say all you want, but it's not about the ERA and the BABIP, but it's not like his ERA estimators are saying this is a super unlucky pitcher. Still talking about a 421 XFIP and a 438 Sierra, so I would still be a little bit intimidated by that matchup against the Reds. Let's wrap up this episode with a look at the prospect spotlight, and let's start with Jose Miranda in the Twin system, hitting 345 with 14 homers at AA Wichita. Homered three times in his first game at AAA St. Paul on June 29th. He's a second baseman and third baseman by trade, but playing some first base. So maybe a second half call up for the Twins, depending on some moves that they could potentially make. And then we've also got Shane Baz, 51 and two thirds innings pitched between AA and AAA this season. 77 Ks against just 8 walks in those 51 innings. I mean, this is something we expect Baz to be, but very nice to see it in front of our eyes at the AA and AAA levels.
Yeah, you know, and this is not a huge surprise, I think, to anybody that Baz is having this level of success. But I think it's important to kind of remind at least some of us, because our attention has been so much on the Rays hitters, you know, Franco right. and Brujan. So, you know, Baz is there too, and maybe we see him not too long. And Miranda, that's intriguing to me that he's getting some reps at first base, because that to me signals that the Twins organization is looking for some way to get him up in the majors. And he's, you know, done nothing in terms of performance to discourage that movement.
Got to believe if that team does get rid of a couple of its regulars before the trade deadline, that Miranda could be, if not the first guy, one of the first guys who they do end up turning to fill out the roster in the second half. That's going to do it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. Hope we didn't throw you off too much with the change in roles. We will be back with you on Thursday. Give us a rating, give us a review, give us all the good stuff if you have a chance to do that. Al and I will talk with you on Thursday morning.